Bobby.
Hello.
Welcome to Cheater and the Root on the Progressive Radio Network. It is Thursday, May 30th, 19 and 130, I don't know. Listen, everybody, this is Jeff Chrysler. I am the author of the book Get Rich Cheating, also known as a cheater. And joining me in spirit, but never in person, is Lee Papa, the writer of the Rude Pundit blogger thing. He's pretty sweet, but he has a contract with a dragon slaying service that keeps him busy Thursdays frequently. He actually serves as a human shield for a very small person. As you can maybe hear in that moment there, I'm still getting over this death throat thing that I've had for a while. We don't know if it was allergies. We don't know if it was just some sort of poison. Maybe my anti-gun statements that I made once on stage in Allentown, Pennsylvania, have gotten someone to send me a ricin letter, except since I'm such a minor figure, they've just sent me something that gives me congestion. It's totally possible. I wouldn't rule it out. It would explain why I am not taller. Also, because when I was young, I probably said something to a right winger, and he's like, "You're going to be cursed. My mother, wife, aunt, daughter, while one person's going to break a stew." Anyway, this is Cheater on the Root. If you're interested in chiming in, please feel free to give us a ring at 888-874-4888 and challenge our engineer, Heather Ray. It's spelled like Heather, but it's pronounced Heather Ray. Challenge her to see if she can understand what you're saying on the phone. Tell her what your superpower is, and if it's a superpower she likes, she will pass you through and we will talk. Speaking about talking, this week I want to talk about some of the news items of, like, the last month, I guess, since we've talked. I don't know. As you may know, I've had a child in the last 1 to 3 years, and it makes me lose track of time. So I don't know when we last had a live show, but here are some of the things that have kind of gotten me from the different parts of my body. I got to tell you, first of all, this time of the show, this is not when I'm excited about politics. I'm excited. I love the campaigning stuff. I know it's just a game, and ultimately, you know, it doesn't mean anything for reasons both grandly political. You know, we're all Muppets and the puppets of the Muppets and the puppets. But, you know, it's a fun little thing. But right now, you know, it's like all this cares. No, who cares? I mean, I care, but anyway. That said, let's talk about some of the things that are going on. I have been paying particular attention to the state of Virginia, where I went to law school before throwing it all away so I could talk to you people. You know, you're not allowed to go to law school and be a lawyer and then have a show on. That's not true. I probably did do that. I'm technically a lawyer. I could have a show anywhere I want. PLN, we're moving forward with lawyers from Virginia. We want you to contribute to our retention fund bonus percentage. Retainer, that was the word I was looking for. See what happens when you don't want to do a radio show for a month, everybody? You suddenly forget what it is that holds your teeth back after getting braces. So in Virginia, they recently had the Republican Party nominate their candidates up and down the ticket for the upcoming election for statewide office. Governor, I want to say assistant governor. I know that's not actually what it is. Lieutenant governor is what it's called, but it's and attorney general, and I'm sure some other little, you know, boy, quieter, wide stancer, intern, eradicator, all the different positions in the Republican Party. And there were some winners. First of all, there's Cuccinelli. He's leading the ticket, and he's got his whole history of shadiness, and both ethically shady and just being a general jerk, but yeah, you know, what's new about that? But the guy they nominated for the attorney general, he did something pretty good. He's the former or current state senator, Mark Obenshain. He once introduced a bill requiring women to report their miscarriages to police or risk jail time. Let me say it again in case it was still outrageous. A bill requiring women to report their miscarriages to police or risk jail time. Now, this does seem like a question out of my upcoming Man on the Street game show real law or science fiction fantasy out of bad movie. But it's not. It's real law. So I guess it could be one of the questions in that upcoming show. So, but the point is, it's a real law. No word on whether or not the accompanying bill of requiring men to report their whiskey dick to Jezebel has passed, but it's potentially going to be there. It's an amazing, you know, this war on women thing they talk about. I don't like throwing terms like war around, whether it's about football games or political movements, but it's kind of hard to deny that there's some crazy motions out there, mostly led by men, to treat things that women have to endure as trivial. I mean, a miscarriage is an emotional, personal, devastating moment, and to treat it like a criminal act is itself a criminal act, I would say. People have often said the irony is that the Republican Party, you know, they always say government is interfering in our lives. In this case, you know, they want the government shrunk, but just small enough to fit into a vagina, and this time with a cell phone or an OnStar or a home security system. What's a good home security system? Anybody know? You know what I'm talking about. Call up 888-488-8844. Actually, the real number is 888-874-4888. And tell me what a good, funny-sounding security system is that the Republican Party would put inside a woman's vagina. CSI VJJ, Law and Order IUD. The possibilities are, maybe it's a picture of David Caruso. He's the CSI guy. Or Bill Watterson. He's the, anyway, you know what I'm saying. But listen, State Senator Mark Obenshi, the Attorney General nominee, is not even the greatest nominee from the state of Virginia. That has to go to the nominee for the Lieutenant Governor, and E.W. Jackson. Now, before I tell you some of the things that E.W. Jackson has done, I want to provide some background that in many ways I think is irrelevant, but is nonetheless, I think, relevant. E.W. Jackson is an African-American. I, Jeff Chrysler, the cheater, am not. I am a Caucasian-American. I was tempted just to say I am an American, but really that's what you would say about African-Americans and Asian-Americans and Hispanic-Americans and American-Americans. But, you know, like Soledad O'Brien has to do her whole show, like, White in America, when it could just be called In America. I was intended to, you know. Anyway, so there's your perspective on some of the things that Lieutenant Governor E.W. Jackson has done in the past, or in the recent past. He compares Planned Parenthood frequently. He compares Planned Parenthood to the KKK. That would be the Ku Klux Klan. Planned Parenthood. Now, if you think about it, it may sound outrageous to you and me, it may fit into this whole war women thing, but, you know, the KKK, they're not wearing white hood. Those are medical gowns. You know, they don't want to, you know, burn a cross. Those are just stirrups. And the burning helps it tip down so you can get your legs over them. And a lynching, that's really just a modern, elaborate pap smear. So I guess, you know, in many ways, Planned Parenthood is like the KKK. Because, you know, the KKK spends 97% of their budget on just healthcare and 3% on white supremacy. This guy is kind of nuts. KKK and Planned Parenthood. It's, you know, I admit I've never been subject to the wiles and machinations of either organization, but it strikes me as an odd combination. Is this E.W. Jackson's favorite movie? Is it Django Unplanned? Or perhaps Mississippi Burning, When I Pee? Thank you, everybody. You're welcome. Thank you. You're welcome. Now, E.W. Jackson, he doesn't stop at the Planned Parenthood KKK thing. That's just a recent thing his. Back when I would say started his political career, but really once a D-bag, always a D-bag. He, in 1988, you can hear my allergies. The more I talk about right-wingers, the more they send me texts with, I wish I could, you know what I was talking, instead of letters of the rice, and it was going to be texts with flu, but flu is even too serious. I'm not even a flu-worthy level of fame and influence. I am more of a paper cut. They, instead of letters of license, they send me texts with paper cuts. Ha ha! You show them. Nah, I'm more of a hangnail. But paper cuts, those can hurt. Anyway, back in 88, he was living in Boston, and he fought against plans to desegregate Boston public schools. That is, he fought against plans to desegregate Boston public schools. Now, you know, what's the big deal? Boston is such a racially tolerant place, always and forever. Why would that be? He's also said that the African Americans had a slavish devotion to the Democratic Party. Slavish devotion to the Democratic Party. So I remember when all those slaves, you know, back in the day would just automatically vote the party line. Well, at least three-fifths of them would. Look, I'm in no position to judge, although I judge all the time. But I don't feel comfortable judging other people of other cultures, how they treat their own culture. That's why I don't want to use the phrase Uncle Tom here. I would just prefer, let's just call him instead of Uncle Tom, of Clarence Tom. I think that's just, like, easier, softer. It doesn't have as much judgment on my part if I just call it. And look, I get it. Okay, I understand. If you're, strategically, if you're part of a demographic group, whatever it is, and you support a political group that has traditionally suppressed your demographic group, if you support their action of suppressing your demographic group, you'll automatically rise in the ranks of that political group. It's why Woody Allen was the fifth tallest Jew in the Nazi Party. Right? But that doesn't mean that what you're saying is not hypocritical. It doesn't mean that what you're saying is not hurtful. It doesn't mean that what you're saying is not selfish. But, you know, I guess what they say when it comes to Virginia, Virginia is for haters. And that's what I have to say about Virginia, everybody. So I hope you learned something. I hope you write your congressman, and I hope you take this to heart. Let's move from Virginia up north. Toronto's mayor, Bob Ford, was recently videotaped smoking crack cocaine. Now, this is a right-winger. This is a blowhardy right-winger who likes to make incendiary comments. He's never been seen in the same room as Rush Limbaugh. He degrades Asians. He bashes AIDS and gay people. He is just a general jerk, and, you know, by him smoking crack, it sort of brings into full picture what he's all about, which is, you know, he's there to break down stereotypes. No longer do I believe the Canadians are all nice. It seems like maybe he is doing something. You know, we can't bring the races together by making black people white. You know, that's stupid. I had to stop. Black people, what do I do? No, he's just a jackass. And it's definitely not allowed to wear Abercrombie and Fitch. That's a little something for those of you on the internet who know about Abercrombie and Fitch. You may also know about this thing that's happened in Disney. I was recently down in the Magical Kingdom. Took my little kid down to Orlando, checked out some stuff, did not carry a gun into Disney because I'm not an a-hole. There's a guy that just carried a gun there. Rudy Pundit at rudypundit.blogspot.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.blogger.bl America, that rich moms, and is there really any other kind? Because isn't mom being the hardest job in the world, or isn't being, it's also the best paid. They are, rich moms are now hiring handicapped people so their kids can cut lines at Disney World. You know, and you guys thought the Republican Party did not have a job to plan. Come on, they are employees at high wages. It's like $200 an hour. There was an article in the Post in all newspapers about this. There's a great line. One of the moms said, this, and this, that's my voice to our rich mom. I talked to you guys about how I wrote a speech for a fifth grader. Yeah, that's crazy. I'm going to write about that more today. This mom said, this is how the 1% does Disney. Really? I always thought how the 1% did Disney was more like, a fat cat in a strip club with, you know, all the princesses dancing for him and maybe Donald Duck in the back. Don't judge. Donald Duck, halfway there, doesn't want pants to start with. Speaking more about white people, there was a company called Real Bronx Tours, and that was offering what they called a ghetto bus tour of the Bronx. Are you know about that? You didn't know? Well, for $45, tourists, mostly Europeans, could ride around the Bronx checking out food pantries, a, quote, pickpocket park, and a housing park. Now, I'm not sure if it was actually on a bus or a very racist time machine, but you got to travel and you got to see all these spots and you got to be told how you should be scared of the black man! Frankly, I'm not sure what's really all that different. You know, getting rich Europeans to pay a lot of money to watch other ethnicities in the Bronx, isn't that what Yankee Stadium is about? And besides, you know, the rich Europeans, you know, they're there just to see the people that they're made for, right? Yeah. I think we should just offer the reverse if we really want to, instead of shutting this down, have a Wall Street Greed tour or a tour of Greenwich bank robbers. They actually did that back when everything collapsed. Silicon Valley slave labor, the Delaware tax dodgers, or Snooki and Lindsay Lohan, although I guess they do have the Jersey Shore. That story was just... A right-wing radio host named Pete Santilli recently said that he would like to shoot Hillary Clinton in the vagina. Yeah, that's me. This is me giving the slow clap. And this is fantastic. Oh, he mentioned shooting guns, Hillary Clinton, and vagina all in one phrase. That is a Republican triple word score. It's like playing right-wing words with frenemies. You will not lose. Actually, now that I think about it, guns, vagina, and Hillary, maybe he wasn't playing words with frenemies. Maybe he was playing Mary Fuck Hill. Because really, isn't that, get it, he wants to marry his gun, he wants to dingle dong with a ding ding, and he wants to kill. Mm-hmm. I'm having some water, everybody, hold on. Yeah, he continued with a quote, which I don't have in front of me, about how everybody was manipulating them, and it's like the land of Oz, and how we're all getting manipulated, quote, by the little old man behind the curtain. Are you sure you're not thinking about the little man in the boat? I mean, here's the problem. Shooting people in the vagina and getting the little men's locations confused is this is what happens when you have abstinence-only sex education. You get people that don't know where things work. They've almost finished the RoboCop statue in Detroit. They raised $50,000 to build a 7-foot-tall statue of RoboCop for the city of Detroit. Not an auto worker, not an athlete, not even Eminem. RoboCop. A robotic cop, you know, to commemorate those fictional future days that only white male robots could stop massive crime sprees by the poor minorities. Oh, don't you miss those days? Kind of an ironic choice for, the honoring of a city. And it makes me wonder what other cities could have a statue of weaker times. Perhaps Chicago could have the one... I'm about to have a coughing fit. Heather, can we take a break for a second? All I have is a coughing fit-induced thing. When we come back, here are the cities and the bleaker moment. Back, everybody. Man, that was intense. This is what I've been going through for a minute. This is why we haven't had a show. Because, normally that happens like every 2 minutes. I'm just coughing there. God, I wish I was involved with like a network of people that had some sort of homeopathic herbal type remedies for all these problems I've had. Get it, everybody? Get it? All right, anyway. Where was I? I was talking about RoboCop. You don't care about RoboCop. What you do care about are these scandals that have gone on and other things in the news quite the terrible tornado that happened in Oklahoma. And as far as, you know, sort of the response to the terrible tornado, I actually want to play a clip from a very important show called The Final Edition Radio Hour. It's the National Denier Service with a message. The Final Edition Radio Hour, by the way, can be heard every Thursday at 8:30, immediately following Cheater and Rude. And here's a little bit about what they have to say about this tornado.
Final Edition presents a public service message from the National Denier Service.
Here at the NDS, we've been getting a lot of calls asking if the Oklahoma tornadoes are the result of global warming. The best answer is that scientists disagree. Both real scientists and the ones paid for by right-wing front groups with bland patriotic names funded by the Koch brothers. We simply don't have enough information about tornadoes, weather, or bland patriotic front groups to make an informed decision. Most of what we know about tornadoes comes from The Wizard of Oz and Twister, one a classic and the other not even available on Netflix. Trying to formulate national policy based on a mishmash of the Lollipop Guild and Helen Hunt is itself a natural disaster. As deniers, we know that denial itself is like a tornado, demolishing some truths while preserving others. David Koch is very much like a twister, except twisters don't make big donations to the institutions they subvert. So the next time a tornado hits, do what Dorothy did. Lie on your bed and wait for your black and white farmhouse to take you someplace better. With any luck, you'll make it to that Disney CGI Oz and get to hang out with the magical James Franco.
The preceding announcement was paid for by Americans for Preceding Announcements, a bland patriotic front group funded by the Kochs.
Yeah, wasn't that sweet? You know, the Final Edition Radio Hour, by the way, you can also find on thefinaledition.com. We have singles and everything. You can do all sorts of cool stuff with it. But that tornado, a traditional tragedy, you think, oh, this is, we can maybe argue over what caused it. And maybe it's between crazy global warming deniers and those that know science. No, there's more. There's more people getting into the conversation. Alex Jones, the doctor something of terribleness. What I'm not trying to make sure my voice doesn't die. I can come up with clever things for what people are. But he basically said that Obama controls the weather. He said Obama has a weather machine that sent that tornado into Oklahoma. A couple of questions on this. Number one, if Obama had a weather machine, why is he using it to send tornadoes to Oklahoma? Why not CPAC? Why not Alex Jones' house? Why not Syria? Why not anywhere but there? What is he going to gain from taking out Oklahoma? And, you know, this might sound a little bit like a crazy conspiracy, but I have to say, who plays Storm in the X-Men movies? Halle Berry. Who's the number one weatherman in the nation? Al Roker. I mean, black people do kind of control the weather. What would stop Obama from being one of those weather-controlling black people? I'm not saying he is. I'm just not saying he isn't. And it makes sense because, you know, the stereotype has been broken down in post-racial America. Right now, first, the White House is always occupied by at least a half African-American. All black people control the weather. And soon, I'm sure there's going to be some hockey players. So this is not as crazy a conspiracy as you might think, everyone. We have a couple minutes left. I can't even talk. What I've missed out on are some fun things about, there was Apple not paying any taxes. Oh, yeah, and how that falls into this whole scandal thing. The IRS. You know what? I'm sure this has been talked about ad nauseum on this network, but the Tea Party should be given extra scrutiny. They're named after a tax revolt. Of course the IRS is going to look at them. You know, if there was a place called the Kraken Murder Hut, I would hope the police would at least give it a look over. So what's the, you know, these are, and these, I mean, the real scandal isn't that, like, we're seeing scrutiny to tax-exempt organizations. It's that there are tax-exempt organizations like this. And tax exemption should be pretty narrow limited to people that are just doing charity work and don't have other ways of earning funding. You know who else is tax-exempt besides Karl Rove and besides Grover Norquist? The church. The biggest corporation in history, the church. Apple. GE. They're not paying taxes. That's the scandal, not the fact that, like, an understaffed, underfunded, overwhelmed agency tried to use a shorthand for people that don't want to pay taxes. But, of course, that's not what we're focusing on. We're focusing on how, well, not we, the crazies, you know, are focusing on how it's a real scandal. Remember, Max Rudge of the Drudge Report sent on a tweet something along the lines of, I wonder if the nation will have the courage to impeach the first black president. You know, I'm pretty sure the nation will have, I don't even say, like, you know, we impeached Nixon. We didn't even impeach Nixon, really. I mean, Clinton, like, have the courage. We're like a dare. You know what that is? Like, he's daring the nation. Like, I wonder if the nation will have the courage to send me a dollar. I wonder if everyone in the nation has the ball. PayPal me $15 a month. I wonder if the nation has what it takes to provide me a constant stream of wealthy nymphomaniacs with amnesia. I wonder if the nation is willing to tune in to Cheater in the Room every Thursday or just once in a while. If they really know what's in the repeats, I wonder if the nation has what it takes to stick around 2 minutes from now and listen to the final edition radio hour. I wonder if the nation has what it takes to tell Heather to bring up the outro music, because this has been another episode of Cheater and the Rude on the Progressive Radio Network. You can check us out on Facebook, search Cheater and the Rude. You can check me out on Twitter at Jeff Kreisler, JeffKreisler, or my website, JeffKreisler.com, or my website, GetRichCheater.com. Hi, I'm not a crook, and this is Cheater and the Rude. Stick around for the final edition tonight. Oh, from Sweden.